Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY26 conference call of Quick Heal Technologies Limited, hosted by Valorem Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Hina Khatri from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Sagar. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Hina Khatri from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Quick Heal Technologies Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the second quarter and the first half of financial year 2026. Before we begin, a quick cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings conference call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on this forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call. We have with us Dr. Kailash Katkar, Managing Director, Dr. Sanjay Katkar, Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Ankit Maheshwari, Chief Financial Officer. Without any further delay, I request Dr. Kailash Katkar to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here with all of you today and share our performance for the second quarter of financial year 2026. I'm happy to say that Q2 has been a positive quarter for us. Both our businesses, consumer and enterprise segment, have performed well, showing the strength and balance of our overall portfolio. It was a good quarter for our consumer business, as Q2 traditionally has been such due to seasonality. Supported by our resilience, effort and continuous trust that customers and partners have in the Quick Heal brand, the enterprise business continued to grow steadily, driven by strong partners, innovative product launches and strong traction across key customer segments. This balanced performance reflects the steady progress we have made towards building a strong, future-ready cybersecurity company that serves both individual and business with equal focus. We also continue to invest in innovation this quarter. Our partnership with Bhashini, where we are bringing data privacy solution in 22 Indian languages, is a proud step forward. We also onboarded our first customer for our data privacy solution, which helps enterprise meet Indian new data protection requirement. I am also proud to share that our effort has been widely recognized. Securite was named Cybersecurity Service Provider of the Year, and Quick Heal owned the leading cybersecurity solution brand of the year 2025. This recognition reflects our team's hard work and shared vision. Beyond business as a responsible organization, we continue to drive social impact and have touched more than 68 lakhs lives throughout the year. It's a small but meaningful way of helping citizens stay safe in the digital world. As we move into the second half of the year, we do so with confidence and clarity. We have heavily business pipeline, a growing international presence, and a strong team that continue to drive our vision forward. Before I close, I want to thank all our shareholders, customers, partners, employees for their continuous trust and support. It's your confidence that motivates us to keep growing, innovating, and delivering long-term value. I will now request Sanjay to take you through the strategic and operational updates. Over to you, Sanjay.
Thank you, Kailash. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Let me take you through a quick summary of our progress during Q2. The global cybersecurity world is changing fast, and more companies are adopting AI, cloud-based security, and data privacy solutions. Against this backdrop, Quickheal and Seqrite are well poised with a complete range of security products and services. We are growing across three focus areas, maturing our product range, reaching bigger customers, and entering newer markets. On the product side, we are investing into solutions that bring together different security tools under one platform. For large enterprises, we see a good initial interest in products like our data privacy solution and threat intelligence platform. Seqrite Labs unmasked Grasscall campaign of hackers behind job recruitment cyber scams and presented its paper on silent links uncovering a cyber espionage campaign in Central Asia at the International Virus Bulletin Conference in Berlin. On the consumer front, we continue to build awareness and trust. Regional campaigns in Tamil Nadu, Maharashtra, and festive activities across the country helped us connect more deeply with our users and partners. Our goal remains simple: to make cybersecurity easy, effective, and accessible for everyone. We have a strong roadmap ahead, and we are confident of continuing this positive momentum through the rest of the year. I'll now hand it over to Ankit to share the financial highlights.
Thank you, Sanjay. Good evening, everyone. Let me now take you through the financial highlights for quarter 2, FY26. This has been a good quarter for us, with growth coming from both our consumer and enterprise businesses. Revenue for the quarter stood at 83.5 crores compared to 57 crore in the last quarter and 73 crore in the corresponding quarter of the last financial year, showing healthy growth helped by seasonal strength in consumer business and steady demand in enterprise business. International revenue continues with the growth momentum, supported by good traction in Southeast Asia and the Middle East. Government business has also shown robust growth in the quarter gone by, reiterating the trust and belief our customers have in us. Deferred revenue stands at 17 crores at the end of quarter. Our EBITDA margin improved to 11%, helped by revenue enhancement and better operational efficiency. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 9.2 crore compared to negative 9.7 crore in the last quarter and 3 crore positive in the corresponding quarter of the last financial year. R&D investments are optimized this quarter as we started to leverage automation and AI. We continue to invest in sales and marketing, strengthening our sales team to propel our growth trajectory. Also, please note that business basis prudent accounting policies, we expense off all our R&D investments. PAT for the quarter stood at 8 crores. Our balance sheet remains strong and debt-free, giving us the flexibility to invest in R&D and market expansion. Our investments and cash balance stands at 191 crores as on 30th September 2025. With a solid foundation and clear direction, we are focused on maintaining this momentum in the second half of the year, with our focus on driving predictable and sustainable growth across both businesses. Thank you everyone for your time and continued support. We will now open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and then one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Again, to register for a question, please press star and then one. Participants, you may press star and then one to ask a question. Our first question comes from the line of Ashish Soni from Family Office. Please go ahead.
So in terms of tailwinds, our government is promoting Zoho and others. So are we seeing tailwinds because of that, at least for Indian enterprise customers willing to take our product compared to like maybe foreign products?
Yeah, Ashish, definitely there is a scope out there and we are also working in that direction. Only thing is, things are moving slow on the government front. We have been showcasing what we have, and in fact, a lot of government departments are already using our solutions. The kind of promotion that you talked about, Zoho, is something different that we need to work with them to make sure that they also talk about it in publicly. So that's where we are working as well, but it's like I'll say working in progress.
And in terms of the R&D and marketing expense, when do you think it can like it's peaked out, or do you think we'll like reach to like 20% sort of thing, or just give us a direction, because now I know last 1 or 2 years you have been spending a lot on that. So just give us a color and any growth aspirations also which you have, at least in terms of revenue. And
so Ashish, we don't give any guidance on the revenue, but in terms of R&D, in my speech also, I said that there is a decline in R&D expenses. So for last couple of quarters, we were having negative EBITDA. To address that, we have done some delayed hiring. But in addition to that, more importantly, we are actually using AI and automation tools to optimize our cost. So with both these actions put together, we were able to save some cost on R&D.
And like in defense, I think the geopolitical situation, like defense, there are different camps in the world. So are we seeing any foreign business coming our way because of all this geopolitics? Because take an example, at least for Nayara, right? We have seen Microsoft stopping the services, and then I saw SAP stopping the services. So are we seeing any such trends from your perspective?
We are, of course, threats. Quite actively, Security Labs is monitoring the threats and also coming out with detailed reports and sharing it with the right authorities. At the same time, on the product front and on the market front, what we are seeing is there's quite good interest has been generated because of the geopolitical situation, even in India as well as in regional areas like UAE and all, wherein people are interested to at least have a look at our products, understand our offerings, and that's where we are quite happy with that. At the same time, things are going in right direction, I'll say, but nothing as such immediate I can say on the front of revenue. Yeah.
This is one of the reasons when we are seeing an uptick in our government business. So this quarter we have seen uptick in revenue in our government business especially. So this is one of the reasons where government is actively using our product. Sorry.
Okay. And I think revenue guidance, I think I can understand. But in terms of aspiration, because again, I was reading a lot of reports in terms of China, right? Their homegrown applications or the software are losing the, I know India is a bit different. But with all this situation, do you think our aspiration is to reach some target in like 5 years? Or 3 to 5 years, at least our aspiration,
by the ambition, by. Yeah, I should see. Of course, we always aspire that, and in fact, the situations since at least a couple of years, and now recently more prominently the geopolitical situations are really helping us promote our views across different departments and verticals in government. And we ourselves are quite sure, and we are making sure that we will be the I'll say topmost alternative for any MNC products that being used across India on the cybersecurity front and on the cybersecurity lab as well. And that's where we are also seeing a good traction. That's why we also launched these two products last year itself, the Threat Intel, which is a kind of feed that also can be incorporated into any existing MNC products that any of the government may be using but still wants to have an Indian or indigenous Threat Intel feed. And we are seeing good traction on that front. And like I'm quite sure that we'll be at a much better position in at least a couple of years in that respect, actually.
And in terms of this data protection or policies, like whatever government is coming up, do you see a very big potential for us to scale that business in India specifically?
Yeah, so for that, I'll say that is something that will create a new market altogether for a product like complying for DPDP, because people have been using things in bits and pieces like DLP solutions or something, but then this law is more... much more comprehensive, and guidelines are coming with much more details, wherein now there is a scope for a product like the data privacy product that we just launched, and we are seeing good enough interest and a lot of POCs are happening, but then of course the law is still delayed. It's not yet completely implemented on ground, so people are waiting for that. But at the same time, certain organizations have already gone ahead and done POCs, now planning a budgeting for that, and one customer we onboarded, which we are happy. Now I'll give you some idea with respect to the how it will go ahead. One, this product is a new product in the market, and especially being targeted on mid and large organizations, not SMBs. There will be a period where the product will still need some maturity with respect to the expectations on the enterprise front and the offering that we already have. And that's the period we are entering into. We have already getting traction and suggestions as people are doing POCs. And as we cover the ground, and we will be in a much better position to address this DPDP related compliance market. And I feel that's going to be a big enough market for us to add revenue. But then it's all about like how things are moving and compliances are getting implemented. And we are working on both sides, like working from the compliance side. We are talking to the authorities at the same time, working with the consumers to make sure how they are looking at the offering. I do see there is a scope for even service on this front, but then we are shaping our product for the consumers at the beginning, and then gradually see if there is a service need to be added to that product as well. So we ourselves are into the learning cycle, but yeah, I am very hopeful and positive about this product line.
Last question on this R&D.
Sorry to interrupt. Ashish sir, may we request you to return to the queue for follow-up questions. Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Majid Ahmed from Pinpoint X Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So, for my first question is, sir, going forward, I'm just trying to understand the clear levels of growth, especially in the enterprise segment, because considering the fact there is also much more need for the government side of defense and other government enterprises require these type of high-end solutions as we go forward. So just want to understand the levels of growth that you're looking to execute in next 2 to 3 years.
So as we have been saying every time, that for us, we do see enterprise as the vertical that will add more revenue to our us in next couple of years. In that enterprise front, we are already having a flagship product that is EDR XDR is contributing more than 90% of that revenue, and the newer products that we launched in last 2-3 quarters have started bringing revenue as well. Along with that, with the latest product that we launched, the STP and SMAP, we are seeing good enough interest by the enterprises into these products as well. Along with that, we do see good growth should happen in government business, because we are being invited and we have been demonstrating a lot to the government department. Only thing is, since these things are like big ticket, they are taking some time, they are taking time for decisions, but we do hope for getting good entry into that vertical as well. So I do see good enough potential for our enterprise products in the mid-market and government segment as well.
And may I know the potential that you're looking at, like the TAM you're looking to hit in the government sector, how big it can be in terms of the opportunity size?
See, on government, there are multiple channels. One is like, see, state governments have a different traction with respect to that, and as well as and central government has a different requirement altogether. So we are present in both the fronts, but in terms of volume, see, I'll say government itself is not releasing the figures, but they are budgeting for cybersecurity. See, the budgets that they are currently they are increasing them, but we are not having the figures in mind. So all put together, over the 2 to 3 years, it should be around 4,000 crore as a total market, and we want to grab as much as possible, and we being in the right position, being Make in India and the preference being shown to Make in India, is what we want to grab as much as that pie from that market actually.
And
Majid,
we have always said that the focus area for the company is enterprise going forward, and with so many new products, especially Make in India, etc., benefit, government is going to be a key lever along with international geographies.
Sir, and secondly, I just want to know, like, currently, as I see in your balance sheet, the investments are on 179 crores in mostly mutual funds. Any plan to redeploy it in any sort of M&A or acquisition targets you have for growth?
So, over a period of time, we continuously evaluate all the options which we get, and at an appropriate time, we'll update basis the guidance from board and then update the investors as well.
But yeah, we are actively looking. In fact, we do, in fact, a lot of discussions do happen regularly, and we like that these things are like something that we want to make sure that they align with our plan or vision and the roadmap that we are planning, the kind of customers we are already targeting and the gaps that we are seeing in our product. So that's where we are looking the right fit. So of course, we'll be using those ones as and when required, and we'll be informing to all the investors well in advance.
Okay, sir. Finally, I just want to know, like about the appointment of the CEO, any plans on that?
So CEO selection is in process. Once he is appointed, you people will automatically get to know, because we need to immediately inform to the stock exchange. So
yeah,
lot of interviews are happening, and it will get close soon.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Deepak Ajmera from IGE India. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Deepak.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is regarding the repeat customer rate. What is our repeat customer rate?
So we generally don't disclose it, but since you have asked it, it is in the range of 80% plus. So our
enterprise customers.
For our enterprise,
Customers, it is close to plus minus 80%. For consumer, it is close to 30-35%.
Got it. And we have launched some new products for AI scan related fraud. So what is that? Antifraud.ai.
So that's a B2C product. So it's a consumer product, and which we are focusing on protecting consumers from the frauds that are happening on the phone mostly. So that's the product, and we are investing or I'll say inventing newer features based on the kind of frauds that are happening into that product. And that's like we are using our channel partners for B2C to distribute that product. At the same time, App Store is the one area where we distribute that product to the customer side. Yeah.
Got it. So that product needs to be installed into mobile phone or what?
Yeah, yeah. It's a complete phone-based protection. We do have PC-based as well, but that we are bundling with our Quickheal Total Security for the frauds that happen on the PC. But then mobile is the one that is more focused for fraud, because that is mobile-based frauds are completely different, and antifraud.ai that is there for Android and Apple phones as well. And antifraud.ai for PCs is bundled with our Quickheal Total Security, which is for PCs.
Does it bring any kind of slowness to phone?
Can you repeat your question? I'm not able to hear you. Acha, it doesn't. We do benchmark ourselves while we release a newer version every time. So it doesn't impact your battery performance or the phone performance at all here.
Okay. Into consumer segment, how much premium or discount we sell our product in comparison to the competitor?
Deepak, we are a premium product. Even if you go on the e-com website, you will also see that we are priced our product at a premium to McAfee and to other indigenous players. So we are a premium product, and premium varies depending upon the demand and supply, but we have classified ourselves as a premium service provider.
Currently, tentatively, something in the range of 15 to 20% is the premium that we
command over
the competition.
Got it. And lastly, our revenue seems to be stagnant since 2016. So what is the outlook over that?
As we say, we don't give any guidance, but the intent of we making so many investments in the last couple of years is to take our journey in enterprise to the next level. We all know there are headwinds in the consumer business, so we are trying to hold our foot in the consumer business at the current level. So that's the overall thought.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, you may press star and then one to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Karan Gupta from Asit C. Mehta. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, hi. So my question is regarding the B2B side. We know that the B2C segment is facing some headwinds, and like along the government side also. So I just wanted to understand here for the B2B side, you guys are also working for the tier 1, tier 2 IT companies, IT services companies, or what are the competition there? Is that those companies are making or outsourcing their cyber security systems in-house, or they are outsourcing? And what's the position in the B2B side you have as of now?
See, Karan, we are our enterprise solutions. We are more prominently focused on mid market and SMB. So SMB is our strength right now, and our maturity has gone to the level where we are now entering the mid market as well. Mid market, when I say, it's like organizations who have more than 1,000 endpoints, less than 5,000 endpoints. So somewhere that. So IT services or these. GSIs are not our target. We are not focused there. Our focus is more towards particularly these mid-market organizations who are not having cybersecurity, I'll say maturity, and they are looking for XDR solutions and XDR, EDR or firewall kind of solutions. But in that, we are focused on our XDR and ZTNA products, and Zero Trust products to sell them.
So why in this segment you are focused on? Why not in tier one IT services companies? Because what I can imagine is that the market in the GenAI segment where these kind of companies are heavily investing on will be much larger than what you are seeing. I mean, just the rationale behind what you are focusing on, basically.
See, it's not like that we are completely defocused from that. The thing is, we have worked with them, we have tried out there, and the thing is the requirements and the expectations from that markets are different, wherein there's a lot of further investment needed into the products, and that we are gradually matching our products to make sure that they also can be plugged into their MIS system, their backend system, where they can provide as a our product as a to their customers. And that's what, in fact, you may be knowing, and we have a lot of people here that we have at the senior level have come from a services background, and they have a lot of good connects into the IT services sector, and we have been reaching, we have been talking to them. But it takes time, these kind of things, because the large enterprise or IT services, large organizations are more focused. I mean, their customers are mostly Fortune 1000 companies where the requirements are completely different. The product maturity and the investment to reach that level is quite high. And so what we are doing is we are on the ground. We are also strongly focused on things where we are having the strength, the kind of markets that the MNCs are ignoring, like lower mid market and SMBs, where they are not at all focused and the markets are quite open, and our products are much mature and easy to capture those customers. Yeah.
Okay, okay. So for MNCs, those markets are very small, so that's why you're focusing on that. And they are not geared to cater to that. Just one clarification, I don't know, basically, in cybersecurity, these large enterprises are making in-house, or they are outsourcing the cybersecurity platforms or maybe solutions?
We develop everything in-house. We have been this business for 3 decades now.
The enterprises.
Okay.
In the perspective, enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
So they are making in-house, or they are outsourcing?
So it depends. Like, see, as I said, mid-market, they go for products and they depend on system integrators, actually. And if you see large enterprises, they have a complete in-house team for managing the whole operations and SOC operations, all that. But then mid-market and smaller organizations mostly depend on system integrators or MSSPs to complete their cybersecurity readiness.
Okay. And just last one on the competition side. So in India and globally, if you can just name some of the large peers in India and globally. McAfee, I think everybody knows.
Who are the largest? So McAfee maybe is a competition on the consumer side, but when it comes to enterprise, it is SentinelOne, Sophos, Trend Micro, CrowdStrike. These are the competition. These are multinational competition which we compete.
And in India, we face pretty much same competitors, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
These are multinational
competition. Okay. You also said in the enterprise side, Coforge.
Sophos.
S-O-P-H-O-S.
Okay. Just one, is there anything, what's the differentiation that we can create as a solution for cybersecurity? What kind of solutions we can provide them? Just the differentiation in the products. Just wanted to understand this thing.
Yeah,
how,
so it's so
basically the products are different.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole,
and So yes. What I'm trying to tell you is we do have a product management vertical which is more focused on one is like how we can compete best in the market with respect to the product feature maturity, at the same time bringing in the differentiators so that we can be standing out in the face of like competition and taking the leading the way in certain markets. So we do have a team that is more focused towards creating differentiators in all our product lines, and we already have such differentiators in our product line.
Okay. Thank you. Participants, you may press star and then one to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Shubham Zope from Sycamore Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So my question is on B2C segment. For several quarters, our B2C segment, predominantly the consumer business segment, has been degrowing. And you constantly communicated that consumer business has been, you believe that it is in a structural decline or at least stagnation. And that is the main reason you gone for a diversification into enterprise business. And for this quarter particularly, you mentioned that a lot of your incremental growth for this quarter came from tailwinds to the consumer business. So do you still believe that consumer segment structurally is on a decline trend? Or like how you see strategically the consumer business for you, for Quickheal?
See, one is that we have to accept that consumer business is definitely degrowing, and it's not the situation only in India. It's the global trend that we are seeing, and that has been there since almost a couple of years. But at the same time, the efforts that we guys are putting on trying to make sure whatever market share we have and the holding we have, we should be taking advantage of that and making it sure that we are still managing the whole market. The thing is, the good news is that we can see that among the decline, Quickheal is having the lowest decline in this, which is like we are able to hold quite well. The decline is lesser in terms of activation for us than any other competition compared to, because we do that comparison regularly. But at the same time, I'll also say that we cannot stay hand in hand. We have to see that how can we revive that. Is there an opportunity or is there an possibility or a potential of doing that with respect to the kind of changes that are happening in the market? And that's where we keep on coming out with newer approaches, newer ways to address the decline, and also try to make sure that we bring in the, I'll say, turn back to that market. But with that process, at least we are able to, at least in last quarter, we are able to hold the decline and remain, I'll say, flattish. But the way we are putting out with the schemes and pushing the partners to do more sales is helping us to at least create more awareness for moving to a paid versions, and that's what we are doing. And we hope that this will, as you rightly said, structurally it is being impacted, but then we are trying to make sure that we don't remain in that market altogether only. So that's why we are also focused on enterprise segment. But on the same front, we are giving as much as efforts on the consumer to make sure we remain the market leader.
Okay. And last quarter, you mentioned that predominantly the revenue was impacted by collection issues from some of the partners in consumer business. So any update on that? Are we still facing issues on collections, or it is some bit elevated as compared to last quarter?
So while Shubham, partly this has been resolved, but there are still challenges, and hence we are cautious while doing our revenue. Two things I would like to add. This quarter, while Sanjay has responded, there were seasonal tailwinds. There were campaigns, there were back to school things which have helped us in getting a good amount of revenue. However, there are still some challenges which are evident in our receivables as well, which has gone up by about 15 crores in the current quarter. However, we are confident that in the coming quarters, we'll come out of this situation as well.
Okay, okay. Thank you. That was the question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ashish Soni from Family Office. Please go ahead.
Regarding R&D expense, what's the minimum level to sustain our business across both the verticals, enterprise and consumer? And have we reached the peak of the R&D expenses, whatever we have spent, or is there optimal we will like to continue sort of thing?
So there is nothing called optimum, Ashish. I have in my speech also responded saying that we have started using automations in AI so that we get the best of the investments which we are making on R&D. Having said that, in last couple of quarters, we are in the similar range of around 30 to 35 crores in our quarter which we are spending. And while our revenue will be growing at a much higher pace as compared to the R&D expenses, but we are committed on our investments in R&D as we go forward. And this is very dynamic.
Unless we keep
spending on our investments in R&D, we will not be relevant. And that is the reason we have been doing it for last couple of years.
Fruits of this R&D, because we have been spending and there is no revenue generation, but enterprises looks promising. You say the fruits will come in like next 1 or 2 years, at least better than what has been in the past.
Yes, that's the plan. So I would not be able to give you the exact guidance. However, that's the whole thought process while making these investments. And we should get this benefit. And one more thing, while prudent accounting policies, we are expensing off all our R&D investments. So we don't capitalize anything. And hence, there's a pressure on EBITDA while we are making and working on our new products.
Okay. And in terms of marketing, because now we are focusing more on the enterprise, so the marketing is split towards that, or it's like, again, proportionate to the consumer? Like, what's the split between the marketing for enterprise and consumer?
So for consumer, the marketing is very different. It has to be a mass marketing. But for enterprise, we are doing different events, SME partner connects, so that we get the maximum out of our investments in terms of engaging our partners. In the current quarter also, we continue our investment in strengthening our sales team in enterprise. Because as we go into the new product range, unless we have the right manpower to sell it, it will not be successful. So for last couple of quarters, we are committing to strengthen our enterprise sales team.
So have we reached, like, is the whatever geographies you are targeting, has our sales team reached whatever you are planning, and now it's more of mining and trying to make inroads into new customers? Is that the fair assumption, or do you think it will be more geography expansion? Like, where do we stand right now?
So we continue to expand our geography, our reach, our segments, where Sanjay did say that we were focusing on SME and then mid-market and some specific product for large enterprises. So all those things will happen, and we have to continue our investment on sales and marketing side. But it has to be linked with the revenue. Once we start getting the revenue, we will keep on investing.
Okay. Thanks, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Bhavin Vakil from Global Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for this. So I've been hearing more about enterprise and consumer business. So just wanted to understand what is the expected inflection point where, you know, enterprise revenue takes over consumer, and second question is, currently how many enterprise customers contribute more than a crore of revenue for us?
So I would not be able to give you the inflection point when it will come, but I can tell you that 4 years back, our consumer business was 80% and our enterprise business 20%. But over the period, over the last couple of quarters, now it is 60-40. In fact, it was 59-41. That's what I recollect. So we are continuously progressing the direction where very soon our enterprise business will take over the consumer business. That is point number one.
I don't know whether I've seen it, but just wanted to understand how many enterprise customers would approximately contribute a crore of revenue for us each year.
So, Bhavin, we don't disclose these numbers to the outside world, but we do have that level of customers. That's all I can say.
Understood. Fair enough. And just one more question on R&D. I understand you've got a lot of questions on R&D. Just wanted to understand what would be the steady state margin profile once the R&D, you know, is completed for us.
So I just mentioned that in our business, R&D is the key. Because the market is so dynamic, we have to be a step ahead with the as compared to hackers. So I can tell you that as the revenue will grow in a certain percentage, our R&D will also grow, but with a lesser percentage. However, the investment in R&D will continue. And so with the sales. So both the things, these are two pillars at which our success will go.
I would like to add one thing, that when it comes to cyber security, it is not a one-time innovation. It is a continuous innovation, because every day there is a new challenge, new problem, new attacks happening across the globe. And we have to be ready to protect our customers, not only new customers, but even the existing customers. So innovation doesn't stop here. And when innovation doesn't stop, R&D costs will always continue what it is there.
Understood. And what are the risks for us, for enterprise customers specifically, when, you know, there is some sort of a cyber hack which happens? Like anything, you know, major liability for us, or is it cap to revenue?
So, Bhavin, we do have all insurances in place which covers us from any such type of risk. At the same time, it depends on the contract from customer to customer. Sometimes it has been capped to the revenue, sometimes it's capped to a particular number, but we have covered it through various insurances.
Yeah, understood. Thanks a lot for this. Thank you.
Thank you, Bhavin.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and then one to ask a question. Participants, if you wish to register for a question, you may press star and then one. We have a follow-up question from the line of Bhavin Vakil from PW Global Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sorry, it's PW Global Capital Advisors. Just one more follow-up question. So we expect our TAM to increase from 1,800 crores to 4,000. So what would be the possible breakdown between consumer, enterprise and export for us?
If I recollect, the consumer is in the range of 600 to 800 crores in this. So out of this 4,000, you can assume that 20%, about 20% is consumer, and rest 3,200 is the enterprise business.
Understood. And what percentage would be export for us? Like rough idea, not but.
Sorry, can you come
export
again?
Export.
I'm saying what were the exports, yeah.
We haven't been able to do that calculation. I'm not able to...
Hello.
So if you're asking our share, it is in the range of 20%. Right?
Okay.
I thought you're asking in the 4,000 how much is international.
Okay. So 1,000 international, 800 would be consumer and balance.
So in my revenue, in my enterprise revenue, 20% is coming from international. That is point number one.
Okay.
In the 4,000, the split is 20% consumer and around 80%, which is 3,200, is enterprise. Now, in that 3,200, how much is going to be international? I need to check and come back.
Sure. Understood. And in enterprise, what are our operating margins versus consumer?
So we don't disclose these numbers, but as we grow, as the number will go up, these margins will certainly improve.
Understood. It's internal call, but any specific reason for not disclosing operating margins?
So we don't operate with two different segments. We are saying that both the businesses are currently seen together, and the size of the business used to be very small enterprise business. As we grow up in the latter, we will try to share and give more information around the operating margins for both businesses separately. But at this point of time, we are tracking it as one, which is, so currently this quarter we had margins of about 11% EBITDA margin, but it varies in that range.
How much approximately?
11% is the number for the current quarter. 11%
EBITDA
margin.
EBITDA margin. Okay, blended one.
Blended.
Sure. Thanks for this. I think going forward, if you can disclose these kind of numbers, I think there could be more investor interest, because I think, at least for me, I think I'm not able to figure out specifically how to evaluate the company considering lack of numbers here. Thank you.
Feedback taken, Bhavin, but I can tell you that consumer business, we are in an established phase, so the margins there are certainly higher as compared to enterprise business. But your feedback is taken, and we will try to give those inputs, additional numbers, in the coming quarters.
Oh, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, and wish you a very happy Deepavali. Look forward. Thank you.
Happy Diwali to all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, management. On behalf of Quick Heal Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.